Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Well, welcome one and all to the epic episode 32 of the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Today, star date of December the 3rd, 2023 AD. Welcome everyone out there in Radio Land and in 28 foreign countries and counting. The show is exponential. We are like the Phoenix, where we're located. We are growing from the ashes to the quintessential Phoenix bird flying off into the radio stratosphere. We're glad everyone's here tonight. This is our fun show of the month, the first Tuesday of the month. Many of you love this show. I get your letters and your cards and telegrams and MP3s and you name it. If you want the show to be on every week, what you got to do, I want to hear it from the people. They must demand that this show be on every Tuesday night. That means they got to hear it from you up there in Radio Land. You got to let your friends know from a water cooler, wherever you work, live. I need to hear from at least 2,000 people, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. But I hear a lot of people who want this show on every week instead of once a month. I've got to hear it from the people. I'm a man of the people. And so let me know. We'll take calls after the monologue, of course, 563-999-3437. Wow. Another episode of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, and God save the Bachelor King. So I see it. Now, we will also have our Thursday show, no doubt about it. So, gentlemen, pirates and rat pack bastards worldwide, tonight, I want you to put your best red velvet smoking jacket on, light up your favorite cigar or pipe with your vintage and very cool lighter, get the cufflinks out, wear your favorite leather loafers, slick back that hair, retro Goodfellas Goomba style, with your favorite manly Numero Uno cologne. As we delve into the Bachelor universe tonight, and the Bachelor's Den, and the galactic cosmos, as always, with wild abandon. People getting weird out there, or is it just me? I have a good story for Thursday night, which happened tonight before the show went live. I'll tell you about that on Thursday as a hook to get you to listen to that show. But yeah, this hit close to home, and literally close to home. That's your hint. So you'll hear about that on the Thursday. That's more suited for the Thursday show than tonight's show. Well, on this show, this is our kickback show. We have the, we're in the Bachelor's Den, got the lava lounge on, the bar is open, mixing a few drinks, enjoying life. How's your love life, Mr. and Mrs. America? How is your body count going? Well, on this show, we've got the leopard rug out. We've got all the trappings of a bachelor's den. Got a vaulted ceiling, artwork, sculpture in here, comfortable surroundings, lots of loafers, lots of robes, lighters and cigars, pipes. The bar is fully stocked, and my close friends will let you know that. Always fully stocked for me and the ladies. And, God, just so glad to be here tonight. This is really, really cool. It's the holidays. Are you out shopping? There's lots of good-looking ladies out there at all the stores. This is what I do like to do shopping. Not so much to buy things. God knows I've got enough stuff, but I enjoy the hustle bustle. It's fun to see other people out there. It's a lot of women guys out at these stores right now. The malls, you can bump into them, get to talking to them. Who knows what may happen? But you guys need to turn on your shopping cart and get out there a little bit. Get off the internet. Get off the social media. Get out and about. Meet some women. Stores are packed, chicks. Packed. They're everywhere. Like apples off a tree. And this is when they come out, I know, in Arizona. They hibernate all summer. But you come the fall, winter, spring, but the holidays especially. They are out in droves. Just wonderful. See people out and about. This is my favorite time of the year. All the pomp and circumstance, the merriment, the booze is flowing, and so are the ladies. The parties are everywhere. Merriment, good times. And by the way, this show's motto has always been, in good times, we trust. Never forget that. Tonight we'll take in some calls, as always. Shows about the American Bachelor mainly, but also the International Bachelor in Man About Town. Great callers, great music, great promos, where no subject really is off the table, and where no other radio show dares even talk about this kind of content. From the toxic dating scene in America to Passport Bros, expat international travel. The American men are going where they are wanted if the women in this country don't want them. That's not a threat. That's a promise. And then the men will find their Shangri-La. Some men will not find it in America. And the premise of this show is that plus the fact, the underlying premise is that most adult men, whether they know it or not, most don't know it. From age 18 to full-blown adulthood, they will be a bachelor for more adult years now than being married. The stats are on my side. The numbers reflect it. The numbers are on my side. I've been saying this for a long time. Whether we like it or not, the nuclear family is not what it used to be. It was bad enough decades ago in the sense of the troubles people had, financial troubles, whatever. Being married has always been expensive, and getting out of a marriage is expensive. So they got you coming and going, right? Last month, we talked about all the attorney billboards around town. But marriage is one of those things like a castle on a hill. Everybody outside the castle is trying to get in, and everybody inside the castle is desperately trying to get out. And that's marriage in a nutshell. It's my analogy of it. A castle under siege. And you, the man in America, you're under siege. You've got ladies trying to get into your wallet. They'll never put out for you. You're lucky if you get a little peck on the cheek, a little kiss for that $200-$300 dinner you just dropped, where you fed her a filet, lobster, couple glasses of wine, or maybe she likes a, what a girl told me over Thanksgiving, I only drink chocolate martinis, and they're $25 each, and that's exactly what I want, a chocolate martini. This is during a Thanksgiving party, and I said, well, honey, buddy, there's the bar. Enjoy. She looked at me like totally shocked. No man had ever called her out. I go, buy all the chocolate martinis you want. Help out the terrible Biden economy. Go for it. There's the bar. Enjoy. I'm not dating her or banging her. I ain't buying her any drinks. Then you have some girl that comes up next to her with a smug attitude and goes, that's not how it's done, guys. And then I go, well, hotshot, why don't you buy her a drink? She shuts up like a little pilgrim woman real fast. Why don't you buy the chocolate martini then, or the Cosmo? You buy that drink. Boy, they get real quiet. That's when the women climb up real fast. I call them out. I call it their bluff, their bullshit. Boy, they run for the hills. Well, that's not what I meant. I know exactly what you meant, and you know exactly what you meant. Buy your own drinks. You're all liberated now, right? You don't need men, but you keep telling us. You don't need man. Man is simply walking around as a walking ATM machine. That's how most women view men. What have you done for me lately? How much money do you have in your wallet? I want a piece of that. I want all of it if I can get it. I would definitely want a piece of it. Well, don't blame the women for trying. They're only women. But more and more, we're getting to a prostitute economy. Guys will say, well, I never pay for it. I never pay for anything. And they huff and puff, and I kind of laugh at them, and they fold their arms, and yeah, but you're buying her that $300 dinner on Saturday night to get lucky. What do you call that? Sure, it's a dinner out, but you're going to tell me if you don't buy her a dinner, you can go home and have your way with her? I don't think so. Not in today's economy. Women want that surf and turf, and they're not going to have a sensible salad like in my mom's day every now and then. No, if the chicks in America say, if you're eating steak and surf and turf, I want surf and turf. And I can outdrink you too, Mr. America, Mr. Captain America. I can outdrink you, and I will, on your dime, and you're going to pay for it. How about those apples, big boy? Yeah, they challenge you guys. They're challenging you. You're putting up with it. You guys are amazing. Talk about a beta male or a cuck or whatever. It's like, it's amazing to me when I look at people and couples, what American men put up with. And I hear the conversations. I see what's going on. And I go, better him than me. Better him than me. No doubt. Man. Getting vicious out there. Well, it's all part of the toxic dating environment, which we'll get into tonight as well. A lot of things we will get into, a lot of cool topics. We love women on the show. We love the retro women of yesteryear. There's many good women that are out there. The problem is they're already picked up with boyfriends or husbands. And that's always been my mantra. There's plenty of fish in the sea, but a lot of fish in the sea you don't want. So it's catch and release, gentlemen. Catch them, throw them right back in the water, right? That's how it is, over and over again. But we have a lot of new guys on every show, and we're so glad you're here. I mean, this is your first time probably listening to us live on Blog Talk, or we're on CRN, on Contra Radio, Podomatic, all over the internet. You've got to be formally inducted properly, introduced to the bachelor's den and the fraternity. So I ask you all right now, wherever you are in the world or in America, stand where you are. Stand and deliver. Raise your right hand in total sincerity as we recite the Animal House Radio Fraternity Pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman is giving this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes, now you're all formally inducted. I would like to thank everyone for listening to the show tonight from Belgium, who called in earlier, the USA, Colombia, my friends in the UK, Germany, Italia, Argentina, Chile, Mexico loves the show, Canada, South Korea, Japan, because Mexico is my cheese ball. Como? Hell yeah. I got my smoking jacket on tonight. Hopefully you got some drink there at your locale, maybe in your study. Get down with the lounge sound in the underground. Well, you came to the right place. Remember that movie American Gigolo that came out? Well, our tech wizard, Irish Pirate, and I worked on this, and we now have the official American Gigolo movie trailer to your listening pleasure.
You know who I am. I know who you are. You want to be here. You want to be with me.
His name is Julian Kay.
So what do you expect?
His business is pleasure.
Hello, Judy. You're a very sexy lady. Very good-looking woman. You like me. I can tell. We have a lot of fun.
He is the American Gigolo.
Hello, girls.
How about you? How do you get pleasure?
Please think you're involved in a murder in Palm Springs a week ago.
I'm being framed by somebody. I don't know who.
You've been identified, Julian.
I am in deep trouble.
I think you're guilty of sin.
Richard Gere, Lauren Hutton, American Gigolo.
And only on The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy Radio Show, episode 32 tonight. Well, some quick Bachelor Show themes. We went over a lot of the things in the course material in my book, going right through the pages and going right through the mini chapters. The course curriculum, for God's sake. This is the advanced class. We're not the 101 class. We're the 303 class, for those of you who went to college, you know what that, I mean, that's advanced class 303. Well, is the love of your life Does she really love you, or is she a fraud? Is after your estate? I used to know all these guys in corporate America and the cubicle trench warfare, right? They'd say, they'd pull out their wallet when I was a young buck coming up, right? And they'd say, Vaughn, check this out. This used to be my Cadillac Eldorado. This used to be my beautiful Harley Davidson. My house in Scottsdale, my ranch up in Flag, and this used to be my sports car, my Corvette. I asked every guy, what the hell happened to all your cool stuff, man, your assets, your property? Oh, that's an easy one. I got a divorce. Ha-ha, ha-ha. Every time. I know some of the years that must have met 100 of those guys. They all had the same theme. They were hopeless romantics. They fell in love. Nothing wrong with that. It's really normal and natural. But remember, it's the wife in America that brings 70% of the divorces to the man. And she would divorce you. And one day you come home and she goes, I'm not happy. Well, what's going to make a woman happy? Money. Assets. I tell these guys, you don't need six-pack abs or full head of hair. No, it helps with some chicks, but with most women, they could, well, to be blunt, they could love Brad Pitt or a doorknob, if you know what I mean. Whatever's going to put out the most money for them, that's what they're interested in. Well, these guys I used to meet in corporate America would always say this. And I would go, well, man, they'll say, hey, kid, listen to me. Listen. Whatever you do, kid. And I was a young buck, you know, 25, 26. They'd say, whatever you do, kid, don't get married. Whatever you do, just enjoy life. Enjoy women. And, you know, I've heard that about 100 times. At least. I mean, it was like almost biblical how many times I believe I heard that because God wanted me to tell guys of my generation and the ones that are younger than me that have no freaking clue what the scoreboard is. In other words, Sun Tzu, the art of war, the battle was already fought and won before the battle even begins. And what I'm telling young men is before you even go down the primrose path, that the women have already scored points on the board before you even hit the field. If you want to get sports analogy. 14-0. They've had two touchdowns, and you're just entering the field. You got a lot of catch-up to go. That's going to be an uphill battle. Well, it is an uphill battle these days especially. Now, that's not to say that every woman is like that. They're not. There's a lot of good girls out there. I've always said, if you can find them, grab them. Grab them. Hang on to her. They're out there. The problem is in our culture, our Americanized culture, they're so few and far between. Our culture does not raise anymore what you'd call marriageable, biologically available women that are from good families, relatively clean. Now, a man is a minor. She has a few lovers before. Men don't really want really a virgin in every case, but they do want a girl with a little experience. But the man wants to break her in for the finale, right? The coup de grace, of course. But all throughout my corporate career, I'd meet these guys. And I never had a guy that goes, Vaughn, listen to me, man. Listen. I'm telling you, man, what you got to do, you got to get married to the first chick you date, the first whore you bang, whatever. Marry her. You'll be so much happier. You know, in all my years, I have never had any man ever run up to me and say that ever. Ever. Conversely, I've had over 100 guys tell me the exact opposite. My mother was a saint. She taught me a lot about life. smart woman. My dad married well. She was a damn good-looking woman, too. And but a lot of things she said were from, like, the 1940s, 50s, early 60s methodology. And I learned that I had to unlearn a lot of the crap she put in my head when I was coming up, you know, in the 80s, 90s, and beyond. And a lot of the things that worked in 1955 when she was dating did not work in 1995 or 2005. Talk about a 180. Sorry, Mom. She's in heaven now, but I had to unlearn a lot of the baggage. She was trying to teach me right, and she did, but the society changed right from underneath her feet. And what worked back then doesn't work today. And today, things change so fast. It's like that movie, Ferris Bueller. If you're not careful, life's going to rush right past you, and you won't even notice it. So in tonight's topics, we'll get into a lot of things. Does God care, for example, if you are a family man or a bachelor when you die? Remember, we're all passing through town, guys. Unfortunately, nobody gets to stay here and play with the toys forever. Collect them like women, have fun with them, but you don't get to keep them. I don't think God really cares about that. I think when you get to the pearly gates, he's not going to say, you are going to hell because you never got married. No, he's not going to say that. Because I never saw Jesus get married when he was on planet Earth. If people want to bring up a religious thing, did he marry a woman? No, he didn't, did he? I love facts. That's a fact. He married the world and the universe. He created everything. He's God. But I had a guy ask me that one time. I go, you don't go to a higher level of heaven just because you get married and you're doing the Christian thing. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. But you got to be the kind of guy that you got to be ready for that. You got to be the kind of guy that likes to sit back and watch kids grow. No, I mean, I have a very fast-paced life. And but you got to be the kind of guy that has a burning desire for kids. I don't think married men go to a higher level of heaven. It's all a bunch of hogwash. That's part of the marriage propaganda, that married men get to a higher level because they're doing the godly thing and the debauchery bachelors are doing the terrible thing, right? That's sort of in our lexicon. Well, I would remind them that most of the Revolutionary War soldiers were bachelors. Put that in their pipe and smoke it. Or the fact that most of our guys that fought in World War II were bachelors. They weren't married men. Most of them were bachelors. High, high percentage. So they can't have it both ways. All God's going to ask you when you get to the pearly gates is, were you kind to my fellow man? Did you try to do the right thing? Did you believe in me? And it's not going to be about if you got married or not. God doesn't care, technically, if you get married. If getting married makes you a worse person, I don't think he'd want that. It makes you a better person. I think he would want that. He has a personality. I've always said that. He has to have a personality. Only a man could create planet Earth with all the wild beasts and animals and create splendor and things that are so symmetrical and precise mathematically. That's a man's brain, baby. Symmetry. Geometry, mathematics, how everything fits perfectly. Only a man would do that. Women rule by consensus. Men are fascists by nature. Thank God. Somebody has to be the ruler. Somebody has to be the leader. And that is the man. Never forget that.
The whole basis of fashion is that women want to be looked at. That's what the young people want, and it's working.
Well, I wish I was sweet 16 instead of 62 so that I could be like them, dress up.
It's very subtle, which is unusual in England, not since the 18th century, I think.
I think the colouring of the dresses of today are absolutely gorgeous.
Everybody's amazed to find that London can produce jolly clothes.
Mini skirt!
This is the story of a unique insurrection, one that has induced outcries in Parliament and has set London swinging. It has caused angry editorials and worldwide bewilderment. It's about the young English generation who forgot about being angry. It's the Miniskirt Rebellion, brought to you by Clairol.
Just love that. Called the Miniskirt Song. Love that. Well, tonight we'll get into the mindset of the bachelor and the mindset, the psychology of the family man. Now, I admit, I was not like my Texas nephew who at the tender age of 23, God bless him, wanted to throw in the towel and marry his college sweetheart. Wow. Now, I went to the best wedding of my life there in Houston. I told you guys back in August when he got married, Seth Wehunt. Congratulations, Seth, out there in Radio Land. When I was his age at 23, that was the farthest thing from my mind. I totally confess. To be married at age 23 was the last thing on my mind, to be honest. I'm telling you. But that's why we're all different. That's why the world is the way it is. Is the bachelor charitable during this holiday season? You bet your ass he is. I myself give to charity, food drive, love that stuff. And don't forget, a lot of women work at these charities. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Who was your soulmate, America? Can your soulmate be found in this world we call planet Earth and the cosmos, young bachelor? Or, to be joking, are you saving yourself for marriage? Is your family getting mad at you because you are not married? Are they busting your chops or what? Is your brother's wife mad at you because her two daughters will never be flower girls on your wedding day? Well, let me tell you guys, weddings are never, ever, as you know, about the groom. It's all about the woman, the bride. She's queen for a day. Are you the king for a day? No, you're not. And they will quickly correct you. It's not about you. It's about the bride. So you're the sperm donor. You are the man who stepped up to the plate. You are the ATM machine. But women today are children. They want what they want when they want it. They whine. Can't blame them on one hand because it is what it is, but that's just how they are. They're children. And many men at some point just say, look, if you want sex, buy it. If you want to fall in love, fall in love. Many men are hopeless romantics. And I've always told you guys, be careful about your heart and about falling in love with women that don't love you back. Guys always say these cucks, but Vaughn, I respect her. I respect her. I respect her so much. Why? I don't get this respect thing. Does she respect you back?
Yeah.
Hem-haw around. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? I'm the big cat. Big lion cat. I'll talk to you right to your face. Yeah. Yeah, cat got your tongue. You can't explain that one away, can you? Say, think through these things. Most guys don't. Most guys take the world at face value. And I always say, to be honest, there's ignorance in bliss. Or bliss and ignorance. They're both interchanged. It's true. If you want to just take things at face value and go about your way, I don't care. No skin off my nose, but you'll get what you get. And I hope you like it. Well, we got a big show for you tonight, as always. This is the right place, the right channel for many of you. And if it's not, if it hurts your delicate ears, please change the channel and go watch your TV show, your sitcom, or hear some watered-down rhino talk show. That's not what this show is about, because we get right in there in the nitty-gritty where it counts. We thank you all for being here. It's the Amateurs to start us off tonight with our world-famous song, Rat Pack Style. Love that. The expat lifestyle, being the international man of mystery you always wanted to be and that you need to be. American lesbians are on the march. And like you talked about last month's show, as a man today, you have to compete with other men and the American lesbian. How about those apples?
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Oh, shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go.
Too much for one mad hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
Oh, yes. Can you afford to make many marriage mistakes in this life, gentlemen? I don't think so. But look, corporate America's pain. You got 15-20% Biden inflation or more. You're not really a millionaire. You're making, you know, between 50 and 100 grand and most, well, 50 and 80 grand between in most jobs in corporate America. Seriously, all they pay. Do you have those millions of dollars to fall back on in case things go south for you? You don't. This is why Hugh Hefner can get married 3, 4, 5 times. You see these Hollywood celebrities get married 3, 4, 5. They don't care. They're making $100 million a picture, $20 million down, and they get $80 million more in merchandising, other fees when it gets syndicated, their TV shows. Hell, Charlie Sheen at the height of his Hollywood career was making $2 million each week. He was the highest paid TV star, and he threw it all away. Thought the gravy train would never end. Well, the gravy train does end. Piss off a few directors or producers. And you're sayonara, buddy. I would have never pissed off them. But that's me. And most of these people in Hollywood, they piss through their millions anyway. In 30 years, they're broke. They've blown through the money and hookers and blow. The average man on the street blows through his money. No different. It's at a different level. Well, with that, let's get to the phones. Let's get to American Scotch from Wyoming. Calling the Bachelor's Den tonight, Mr. Scotch, welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ron. I'm good. It's interesting. The last week, I think we've talked about the female problem situation for Western man more than politics, and it's becoming more frequent with all sorts of guys. I've noticed it.
Yes.
They're noticing. It's like... we're not just noticing the Jew anymore. Guys are noticing the women. They're noticing, you know, here's the biggest question that's starting to creep up into certain conversations. Like, wait a minute. When did we give them the right to vote? When was women's suffrage? And we rattle off the date. And, well, that wasn't that long ago. That was barely 100-something years ago. And I said, there you go. 100-plus years ago, gave them the right to vote. And now look around the country. Look at your grandparents, your great-grandparents' lives, and look at your life, sir. And you tell me that we made the right decision. And that's an emphatic hell no. Absolutely.
Hell no.
The wrong thing to do. The wrong thing to do. You know what? Look at your average woman's political viewpoint. You know, we're going to go ahead and we'll incorporate Thursday night and Tuesday night bachelor party. We got one.
We can
we
do
got
it.
A great.
Yes,
we
can.
We can. This is like the
we can make it happen.
Yeah, you can take the chocolate and the vanilla. You can twirl it together, right?
Yes, we can.
Look at their political stance. They're all liberals, especially the good-looking young ones. They're absolutely their most diehard. Or they like Hillary and they just hate Trump because he grabs them by the pussy. I mean, it's it's just beyond. It's beyond predictable when you look at these dating apps, when you talk to these girls. It's impossible. Bro, they're impossible. They really are.
I know.
They're impossible. I mean, you know, I even sealed off a conversation just the other day, and I kind of tied it off, and there was a couple of girls in the chat, and they were quiet, but they understood what I was saying and why I said it, because I placed the breadcrumbs, and we went from the beginning to the end. But, you know, Vaughn, I understand. I totally understand why in the Muslim world they cover their women up. I do. Now, most people are going to think that's a little severe. But you know what? Look at Western women. They expose themselves more and more. I mean, a miniskirt was outrageous back in, what, the early 80s? Now it's
all the 60s, right. The norm now. The norm,
and
yeah.
Now they don't even wear. Yeah, now they don't even wear underwear. Now
that's right.
It's the norm not to even wear any panties, right? This
that's
never
right.
stops. It just keeps escalating, and the women get more bold. They get more insatiable. They get more oversexed. They become less and less loyal. They can't pair bond with a male. They have no ability to have a regular relationship. They have no interest in having kids. They just want to play around. Like you said, I want the filet. I want the chocolate martini. I want the $300 dining bill because I'm worth it.
Yes.
And if you're lucky,
every Saturday night.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give you a peck on the cheek. Maybe. But probably
if
not.
You're lucky,
expecting,
big boy, if you're lucky.
Five more of these dates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an insatiable.
She'll give you a big hug and say, thanks a lot. I had a great time. And she'll do an about face. It's happened to me before. And she'll run to her car, and as she dines and dashes, okay, and
yep.
You text her the next day or two, silence.
Silence.
Those girls, I wrote them off years ago and never looked back. Smartest move ever.
As she leaves you that spent all this money on her and you barely got some hot breath on the cheek, she runs off and she's banging Tyrone.
That's right.
That night.
She doesn't even give you a hug,
work.
For God's sakes.
That's right.
Tyrone or Leroy.
Tyrone or Leroy or Chad. She's got a stable of guys on her her rotation, and she uses you for the dollars and for the dinners, but she's already got her sex life all squared away. None of these girls leave that to chance. It's already done, guys. It's already done.
That's right.
And if you, like you said, if you spend the money on these girls, you are such a chump. Don't do it. Do not.
Don't do it. You're a fucking fool, to be blunt. These guys, women are playing you as a fool.
Yep.
They go, it's called, they will dine for dollars and date for dinner.
Yep.
You know, this was a big thing after World War II when the GIs came home. They had a few dollars, and the women wanted to go out, and the men could take them out. But back then, the women were looking for husbands and serious boyfriends.
Yep.
Not anymore. Now they just want the dinner. They don't want you. They want you to bring the money. They'll chit-chat with you, and then they'll bail when the bill comes. Then she walks out to all of her friends, and she'll say, I'm an independent woman, a proud independent woman, right, until the bill comes. And then she's a little pilgrim woman with her head down.
Yep. I need help. I need help. I need a sugar daddy.
It's amazing how strong women are until the waiter brings over the bill. And then she looks down like a little Stepford wife. Look, it's priceless to watch.
It's unbelievable.
And it is.
It's
crazy.
It's beyond nauseating at this point. Because you know something? When you and I were coming up, and we were dating the broads, the late 80s, the 90s, it was a different scene, man. It really wasn't that bad. It wasn't great, but it really wasn't that bad. But I tell you, I think I noticed it around like 98, 99 is when the ghetto lifestyle creeped in, the pornography creeped in, everybody became a topless dancer on the pole. All the girls were quitting the Hooters jobs. They were going into the strip club. And then they started hooking on the staff. And that's where and now we've got Backpage and Instagram and they're all whores. They're all hookers, guys. They're all hookers. If you are dealing with a girl who's a legitimate 8 and above, and that's saying something, because most girls you see on the internet you think are hot, you take away the fake eyelashes, the weave, and the tons of makeup, they're barely a 4 or 5, and I'm not kidding. Barely.
Yeah.
Barely. And I can say that because I used to work in the clubs. When you saw those strippers with the regular lights on in the back, oh, my God. It was scary. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. It just doesn't work. But these girls are just out of control. Like you said, they are dating for dinner, dating for dollars, and then they get banged with all their guys are lined up. A date with you, and your chump butt is spending money on her. You're not going to get a thing out of her. You may make out with her on the fifth date, maybe, but she's already got other guys.
Maybe.
Lined up. So you're
right.
Dealing with dirty pussy. You're dealing with dirty vagina. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
right.
You guys have got to understand that's how it's working. That's how it works. These girls are not, they are not celibate. They do not know how to be. They can't do it. They can't.
Right.
Now, we guys can be, you know. It's sad, man. It's so sad.
Well, you know, guys will, you're right, right. It's guys do like a good whore once in a while. We're only men. But I would say God made me this way, baby. God invented me. He created me. He created. We're supposed to spread our seed everywhere, right? Well, there are some women, as you well know, American Scotch, that I used to date this chick here in Phoenix from Honduras. Beautiful girl, voluptuous, but, man, psycho, you know? And just they go nuts. They go nuts.
Yep.
That's some funny stories about her, but that's for a different show. But the point remains that the American woman, they have outrageous entitlement complexes, man.
You know what?
I told you, I met the Morton Steakhouse girl last year, and now I met a month ago the chocolate martini girl. I only drink chocolate martinis. Now, in this town, $25-$30 a pop.
At least.
That's all I drink.
Oh, at least.
And I'm going, well, great. Go and buy yourself one.
Yep.
I turn to Steve Fox, who was last week's VIP guest. We're talking at the event, and he never bought a drink the entire night. That's my point.
Yeah.
So they'll buy themselves a drink. They want you to buy it for them. And I go, look, we're not even dating. So I told that to her face. But women respect that. And she stood there. Like a Stepford wife, you kind of look down. I go, we're not dating. I don't buy you drinks. Sorry. You know, I'll be really blunt with women. Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy you a drink. You're welcome to stay and listen to the men talk. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pat her on the head and send her home.
Yep.
I mean, really, we were having a great conversation, and she was the window dresser, to be honest. Women, she contributed nothing to the conversation. But if you want to be a pretty blonde and listen on a little tree stump and listen to the men talk, I have no problem with that. But I'm not going to buy you a drink either. So,
it's like you said a few minutes ago when what's-his-name was saying, but Vaughn, I respect her. Shame on you. And that's my response to guys. When you say cuck language like that, shame on you. My question to that guy, what the fuck do you respect about her? You like her ass?
That's right.
You like her titty? She's got a pretty face. She's got a fuckable face. There's nothing to respect there. That's called lusting. That's a lust situation. Hey, I really want to bang that girl. That I can get on board with. I can understand that language. But I respect her. Number one, like you said, she has no respect for you. Zero. None. And I got news for guys. You start spending money on her, the respect plummets more. It gets worse.
That's right. That's
it
right.
It gets worse. There was a,
it goes there down.
Was a, there was a photograph. I think I may have put it on Gab. I'll try to find it. There was a guy who was this black girl who was on OnlyFans. It was her number one fan. Mm-hmm. Like on OnlyFans, you can be like the number one guy who spends the most money on the girl. This guy, and it showed his page. It showed his page in relation to her and how much he spent on her. Now, he said, the caption was, I just met my number one fan, so-and-so, and this is the girl talking. And she's sitting there.
Right.
They're not even touching. She didn't put an arm around him. She wasn't holding his hand. They weren't kissing each other on the cheek or on the lips. They were literally a foot apart. You could drive a truck between the two of them, right?
Right.
You know, take a guess how much this guy spent on this girl.
I'd say $35,000.
You're about halfway there.
I'm pretty.
this guy was next to 63 $1,000 spent, and she didn't even.
What an idiot! Yeah,
he didn't even hold his hand, and even the guy that shared the photograph said, "Look at this idiot! You spend 63 racks, and you don't even get a palm press from this girl."
Right?
Maybe in the
you
next
get nothing.
20,000, yeah, maybe she'll give you an autograph on a cocktail napkin. I mean, Vaughn, I'm telling you, it's not just the women. To me, it's like, you know, it's like two to tango. The guys are so cucked today. It's absolutely just, it's shameful, brother. There's no testosterone out there anymore. It really is. You know what? And I prove it. Go to the gym. You and I, when we were in our 20s, you went to the gym. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of dudes that were big. They lifted heavy. They lifted hard. You don't see that anymore, bro.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are all like yoga girls. They're all doing lightweight, and they're all trying to be manicured, and they got the perfect hair. They got pedicures and manicures. Everything is – it's so feminized. Everything guys wear, the way they say things, the way they talk, the way they portray themselves. I mean, it's just it's an epidemic, man. It really is. It's I can't get enough of this subject right now because it really is the heart of everything for our future.
It is. That's why
it's
I designed
amazing.
The show. The show it comes to it captures the essence of America in 2023. It captures the American cuck male and the outrageous American female. I encapsulate them. I put them in a cage, and for these 2 hours, once a month, we will dissect the situation. We'll talk about these people, analyze them to death, frontwards and backwards again, and we'll have some great conjecture about it. And what we're talking is the truth there.
Yeah.
And you speak the truth, American Scotch, and I see the same thing. I mean, this guy I met oh, but Vaughn, I respect her. And then I just said, why do you keep using the word respect? First of all, you never met her. You met her online. Secondly, I wouldn't be using that word all the time. She'll have no respect for you. And if you ever do respect her, make damn sure it's a two-way street, buddy. And really, she should respect you first. Then you go, oh, I respect you. I respect you. Women hear that, they run for the hills. They view you as
a little boy.
You're a little cuckold. They'll never bang you at all. They'll never blow you. They will think you're a little boy, and they want a real man, and you're not a real man. I run around going, I respect you. I respect you. Like somebody, some dumb woman, probably a Democrat woman, told this guy, if you respect all the women, they'll be putty in your hand, whatever BS propaganda he learned. It doesn't work that way in the real world. My shows are about the real world.
It doesn't.
What
and
really
you know,
works.
I think I mentioned this before on this program, your Bachelor show. You know something, guys, and this is something you never really get taught until it's either through the School of Hard Knocks or you're lucky enough to have older brothers or a dad, maybe. And it's usually the older brothers that'll teach you this. You never listen to another woman give you advice about women. And you know what? I'm counting your mom in that. Your mother loves you, and she has her best interest for you. But women do not give accurate assessments on other women. It's almost it's like an impossibility. They can't. It's like camouflage with each other. They can't see each other. Men can see it, and you know what? I'll give proof to that. Like you said, women want to be respected. They want to have all of this coddle. You know, they want to be coddled. They want a gentle guy. No, they don't. Women. One of the biggest things I've noticed in the last 15 years, women's obsession with getting choked out. They love it. Now, I'm not saying to everybody on the show, go out there and choke your girlfriend. Guys, I'm telling you, women are turned on by you being a man, which is not being respectful to her. You're being hard, and you're being hard on her. You're a hard ass. You don't give in to her. You know what? You never give in to her. One thing a guy should never do, you should never say I'm sorry to a woman about anything. And, you know, I hate to say it, but when you see the typical guys that handle their girlfriend the best, I hate to say it, but I'm gonna give them credit here. It's the black dudes. They really do, bro. These guys, when they piss a girl off and the girl's mad, they're like, fuck you, bitch. Go be mad. Get out of here. I'm going to go hang out with my bros, or I'm going to go to the strip club. But fuck you. I'm not going to kiss your ass. You get the hell out of here, and you come back to me when you get your shit together. And guess what? They come crawling back every time. Now, white boys, most of the time, white boys are not that way. They'll write a poem.
Except me. I am.
Flowers.
I am that way.
Yeah. You know,
Italiano style. I will tell the woman off. Right.
Yep. Italian.
I want to get along, but I won't put up with her BS either.
Nope. Italian men and Spanish men are the best when it comes to dealing with women similar to black guys. They just don't give a fuck. They're like, go fuck yourself. Get out of here.
That's right. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Nope. You know, and
I'll pat them on the head, say, sayonara, baby.
Yep.
There's a million of you out there for me to bang. I don't need you.
And I'm
one in a million.
I'm not trying to be racist. The worst demographic usually when it comes to dealing with women are Asian guys. Asian guys are just so gentle, and they're just so kind.
Oh, they're total cucks.
They cannot deal with being hard to a chick and understanding that's what they deep down, they love it. Because it reminds me.
I know.
Of daddy. It's what it is.
I know.
It's amazing.
That's right. It's true.
It's amazing. It's so true. Oh.
American Scotch, words of wisdom once again, sir. Love you, man.
Yes, sir.
Call
you
the show
that,
anytime. Hey, come back for Thursday. Plenty
yes,
more where that
I
came from, right?
I will call
nice.
In a couple days.
You nice.
Bet, buddy.
Thanks, American Scotch. Have a great night, sir. Great call. Good night. All of us here at the Stone in the studio, when you're out and about, when you're on the make as a bachelor, you got to look good, get some good clothes. Why do these guys all look like slobs? You know, they stink. They pride themselves on not showering. Yet I never see them with a chick on their arm. I never see them with a good-looking woman. They think that turns them on. Why do these middle-aged guys always wear their hat on backwards like a tool, like trying to look like they're 21? All these hats are on backwards. My God, you're 50 years old, you're 40. Really? Only some guys can pull that off. The guys that work out a lot, wear a tight muscle shirt, can probably pull that off at any age. But some of these guys that do that, they look like a effing tool. Funny to watch. People are funny to me. Watch the mating behavior. Never a dull moment. Well, to look good and smell good, you got to wear the Numero Uno Cologne Gents. Trust me, I wear it every day, and the ladies love me.
Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way. Searching, discovering Numero Uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero Uno Gold, Numero Uno Green, Numero Uno Red, Numero Uno Silver. Four Numero Uno colognes, all different, all wild. Find yours with the searcher kit, a jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero Uno!
I just want to do it over and over and over again. Oh, you just make me feel so good.
Do I make you horny, baby?
Fire, baby.
Fire.
Oh, yeah. Get some soul music on the show, huh? We'll bring on the Gunslinger. We'll get on the Gladiator. We got some more calls pending. We'll get everybody on the show tonight. Gunslinger, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir, from the big state of Texas?
Well, good here and here and there and up and down and backwards and forwards, you know, just as usual. interesting subject tonight. The bottom line on this is that, you know, if you're not in their department, then you're in the basement, okay? What that means is
right.
that these fine-look women out there, you know, the ones that are highfalutin, I call them highfalutin, if you're not wearing a three-piece suit and your wall is about as thick as your 2x4 and driving a sports car, you're shit out of luck. We're just shit out of luck.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women
True.
Are not going to – they look for the money, just like you said a while ago. Money talks, bullshit walks. That's the way it's always been.
That's right.
Okay. And
that's right.
That's not really today anyway. In today's society, that's the way it is. Back when my parents were dating, women wanted a man. I mean, geez. I mean, that was back, you know, God, back in the 50s, late 50s, somewhere in there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted security. They wanted a man. But when you get this, when you get these liberal women out there, okay, yeah, they look good, obviously, but they ain't got a brain in their head. They're brainless because of that feminism and liberalism and all that other crap, okay? I mean, yeah, you might want to fuck them, yeah, sure, but you're not gonna be able to communicate an intelligent conversation with them, okay? No way.
Right.
There's no way, okay? I mean, you can tell the characteristics of these, you know, I go to a couple bars over at Arlington, one of Hooters, and there's a country girl, there's a couple country girls, sweet as hell. I mean, just honey running off of them, okay?
But the bartender, I like them country girls. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, them country girls, oh, my God, jeez. But the bartender, she's about 3 times better looking, blonde, long blonde hair to her butt, and she knows it. Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
Unless you got a wad of cash, you ain't even going to sniff that. Okay, and that's it. That's really it.
That's America.
You know,
welcome to America,
America
in 2023 AD. So true.
And then on the other hand, you got all these women that say from Poland or Russian, for that matter, hot looking. Good God. Okay, that wants a man that doesn't want you to be, you know, filthy rich and drive a Porsche and all this other crap. Okay, and that's the difference between the American woman and these other foreign women. Look at Donald Trump. Look at his wife. My God, she's foreign, and she's not. You know, yes, he married money, obviously, right? No doubt. But I don't think she would be that type to I want to marry money just because of it. She looks down to earth. I mean, my gosh, she's a model and all that stuff. I mean, look how that goes, you know? Go ahead.
I know. Yeah, I always tell guys, go where you're wanted. Keep it simple in life. Guys tend to get too complicated. Some men in America do very well. Some men do not do very well. And if you don't do well, just look in the mirror and say, I'm not cut out for the American dating scene. I'm not the look or the flavor the women want. That's okay. That means you're on a journey to find your Shangri-La. And I've always said, you'll find it. Now, some guys pick Asia, and they're a hit with the Asian women. Guy like me, I'd probably pick South America or Eastern Europe. I like those Eastern European girls. Old school. That's where I went when I went to Europe. I didn't go to London and Paris like most Americans go over there. No, I went to Eastern Europe. I wanted to see, Munich, Germany, and Czech Republic, Croatia, Adriatic Sea, real James Bond territory. And the women in Croatia are very striking, I will say. And I wish I had time to see Montenegro, which would be a great place to hide out. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I tell guys, if American women are not your cup of tea, and they're not for everybody, start traveling the world. Be an expat. Absolutely. Start taking one trip a year until you find the city, the country that you jive with. That's what a lot of guys do. Travel until you find what you like. And I can tell you that when you leave American shores, you're going to have a rude awakening. Because we've been lied to in this country. The men have been lied to. They've been told you got to settle with a middle-aged hag to be happy. Another lie. You've got to settle with her and give her all your money and be a cuck. And if you don't, you're not a real man to the American women if you don't hand over your fortune, right? Many men fall for these things. Many men don't know any better. And I tell guys, you're the one making the money. Get a freaking passport. Get ready to travel. Just get out of the country. Now, for a lot of guys, this is the first time they've ever heard this because they go, well, I was always taught that the best women in the world were in America. Well, that's true in some cases. We have some great women over in America. But keep in mind, if you're a poor guy or a middle-class guy, you're going to have trouble because you can't afford them. I'll be blunt. The saying always goes through millennia, you get the woman that you can afford. From Roman times to now, think about it. You get the woman that you can afford. They never said you get the woman who has the best six-pack abs or the biggest biceps, did they? You get the woman that you can afford. This is why you see ugly guys with a big fat wallet who got the best-looking woman in the bar. Somewhere along the way, she knows, yeah, he isn't the hottest guy, but he's going to pay my rent, buy me anything I want, and I'm going to hang out with him. Does that make the woman a whore? Sure it does. They're all whores. They're all negotiating their price sooner or later. And once men own up to that and clarify the mush in their brain, they'll be able to see reality as it truly is. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I've seen that, you know, many, many times. I'm not a spring chicken. I'm 59 years old. But back in the day, you know, you see these hot-looking women with these guys that, you know, 400 fucking pounds and I'm sorry. Okay. I ain't the best looking one, okay, but my God. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, what do they
got
see in these people like that?
He has beneath his T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't even reach it down there to whack it off. You know, there's so much blubber there, okay? And I've seen this too many times, okay? But, you know, when you're a slim, trim, you know, man, and unfortunately you may be broke, or you're not rich, and they just stub your nose at you. I mean, you're sitting there going, what the hell just happened here? You know?
You did nothing wrong. What it is in America is, Mr. Gunslinger, is we have everything in this country. Everything. We got great roads, great water, great food, right? You can get a job, make pretty good money. But the one thing we don't have is an overabundance of women in this country. Who's coming over the border? Men. Constant flow of men. That's also a problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're an intelligent person like May Hill, a retired master electrician, electrical engineer, you know, I'm not some stupid somebody. I'm not somebody out there, you know, pouring concrete, or, you know, or not saying that those people like that are not necessary. Concrete work is hard. It's definitely hard, no doubt about that. But I'm talking about, you know, technical things. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to be a concrete layer. But you need to be kind of a rocket scientist to be a master electrician engineer. I mean, there's a little bit up on the echelon scale there a little bit. But, you know, and you just, these women just don't get it. I mean, they're looking for their knight in shining armor. Well, guess what? It's never going to come. Okay? Not
That's
my
right.
opinion. Where's that knight in shining armor? Okay, armor. It's not there. Maybe back in the, you know, back in the 16th century when they actually walked around in, you know, armor like that, maybe. Okay, what is that, Rapunzel or whatever that story was? Okay.
Right.
But it ain't going to happen today. And it ain't going to happen today.
That's right.
You know, these people, they're going, or these women are going to keep not dishing it out, you know, and they're just going to stay like that. They're going to stay that way until they're 30 and 40 and they're 50 and everything starts sagging. And they're going to wonder, what the hell? Why don't I have a man by now?
Right.
Look at yourself in the mirror now. 60 fucking years old. Who wants you? You're not hot anymore. There you go. And you wasted your entire fucking life. You know, you only go around once, okay, and you blew it. There's your proof. Go ahead.
I agree. And the thing is, these women, what gets me is they will play around. They'll ride the carousel and all in their late teen years. They'll fuck every guy, right, in their 20s, in their 30s.
Oh, yeah.
They'll bang everybody but you. And then after 25 years of pouring around, having fun, they get the tramp stamp on, you know, over their ass now, and they think they're hot stuff. And then around 45, they go, I'm not married. I got to worry about my retirement. I better go out there and find me a man now. They wake up one day
too
and then we're like, too late now. You blew me off 20 years
too
ago
late.
In the bar. I don't want you now. I might want your 20-year-old daughter, your 25-year-old niece. I'm just being honest.
Yep.
Not every guy wants a middle-aged hag who's been put up wet.
Yep.
Let's be honest. I mean, do you really want that, to settle down with that? I mean, I don't.
Because
those girls, when they get desperate, they hit the brick wall, and they're on YouTube. Just type in brick wall on YouTube, and you'll get a bunch of hits of these middle-aged women who wouldn't give you or me or anybody the time of day back when they were young and hot.
Nope.
Now they're desperate for a husband and no man wants him. Well, all the men you said no to, I bet you there were some good picks there, and you should have been saying yes when you were saying no.
Yeah.
But life's a bitch, baby. Good luck. Enjoy,
you know,
as they say at Chili's. Enjoy as they sit you down.
Enjoy.
I love that.
Well, you know,
that's
life. But, you know, that kind of situation happened to me and one of my girlfriends. I was 33. She's 27, hotter than a goddamn firecracker. Okay. And even her mother said to me one time, Mark, you're the best thing that ever happened to her. Okay. And now she's probably an old hag now, okay? Not had nothing, okay? No man, no nothing. But she could have had me, and her own mother said that to me. And that's really, wow. I took it as a compliment, no doubt about
right.
it. She said, well, here's the best thing that ever happened to her, okay? But you see, it ain't here.
Women can't see the forest for the trees when they're young. It's called BBD, bigger, better deal. And they're always trying to get a bigger guy, a richer guy, a bigger, better deal. I can do better. I can do better. Right? And they get into that when, instead of being grateful for what they have and going, I really should get this guy, Mr. Gunslinger, and rope him down. Texas style.
Yeah.
They didn't. And now 20 years later, they're a middle-aged hag, and nobody wants to marry him. And I go, I see him every day, and I go, good luck. I always ask the girl, what were you doing in your 20s? That's immaterial. No, it's not immaterial. It's got everything to do with it. I'll tell you what, honey buddy. If you were so great, and if you were so hot, guys would have married you back in the day. The reason why you've been fucked and chucked and not married, yeah, you have a design flaw that most men noticed right away, or after a few months or years dating you, and they had fun with you, and they put you back on the shelf, and they went back to the disco to find somebody else. That's what happened.
Yep. That's exactly
what men
happened.
Do.
You,
a lot of men see through their... Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You hit the nail on the head there because the situation I just told you about, that's been about 20 years ago. So,
yep.
Hit the nail right
she
on the
puts
head.
You back on the
so,
shelf.
Yeah.
She wakes up middle-aged. Yep. Where's my gunslinger? There's no gunslinger in the house. Yep. It's just her in her Texas condo or apartment with cats, about 10 or 20 cats.
Yep.
Women never buy a house on their own. Men do. Women don't, statistically.
Yep.
They rarely buy a house on their own. They want to move into your house, and they still do. Very few women are truly independent. They talk a big game, but deep down, they're all a little girl, you know, crying the blues, and it is what it is. But Gunslinger, great call as always, man. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
You know what? Right. Thanks, sir. We'll talk on Thursday for sure, my friend. The gunslinger. Doesn't every boy in America want to grow up to be a gunslinger? I know I did. Well, mix some shots, get some adult beverages. We will return here in a moment. And I thought we'd play a little bit of Mel Torme. Are we happy together? Are you happy with your girlfriend du jour, as I describe him in my book? Hope you are. If you are, then you're happy together. And here's a song.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world would be so very fine. So happy together. And you for me, so happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue for all my life. Me and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it has to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. Happy together. I think about you day and night. It's only right when you love a gal to hold her tight. I hope and pray that every day you'll be happy together. If I should call you on the telephone, invest a dime and hear you say you're my own. I want you to love me, I want you to lead me, because we're happy together. I can see me loving nobody but you.
A little bit of Mel Torme there, love that. Well, if you were in a foreign country, women would be lined up to meet you. In America, the women are stupidly very age conscious her. Haven't you noticed that? She'll go, how old is he? Oh, he's 5 years older. That's too old. He should be only 1 or 2 years older than you, dear. They freak out if the guy's 10 or 20 years older. In foreign countries, it means much, much less than it is here in America. Our women use age discrimination to try to keep you out of the game. Never forget that. Again, if you don't get what you want here in this country, it's a big world, boys. Get that passport ready. Fly around the world. Go down to Costa Rica. Here's an idea. A buddy of mine went down there from Vegas, and I've known this guy there for about 20 years. He's a waiter at Caesar's Palace. Goes down to Costa Rica about twice a year, books a resort. You walk in the lobby, it's probably 50 chicks. It's about an airfare worth about $500, round trip, first class accommodations, secure, big beach, big playa, great bar, strong drinks, hot women. What more do you want? Sunshine, get those little bikinis, girls that are lined up to meet you, little umbrella in your drink, sit back, get your feet rubbed. Smoke a cigar, get a big steak for dinner, feel like a real man. Even the ugly chicks there in America think that they deserve a Brad Pitt type guy. Washboard, flat abs, a huge $100 million bank account, all for her, right? They are all spoiled with outrageous entitlement complexes, you know? Challenge. It's crazy. Well, if you do the Gladiator from the Las Vegas Strip, Gladiator, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, man. Good. How's the scene out there in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'm looking out. I'm in my TV computer room looking out my balcony through my sliding doors. I just noticed from this apartment, I can even see the Bellagio marquee. Forget the Bellagio, I see clear as day, Bellagio Paris. But I can even see the marquee for the Bellagio. I just noticed that.
That's awesome.
So I got a great
It's a gorgeous view, man.
Yeah. I already know where I'm moving to next November.
Where?
So I already have my next, well, I won't say where, but I got my next apartment planned out already.
Okay, cool.
I went and visited the complex. I will literally, from where I am now, I am, let's call it a solid 3 blocks to walk into Caesar's Palace or Bellagio.
Right.
So 2.5 blocks to the backside of the Flamingo or the Horseshoe or the Venetian, right?
Right.
3 blocks to across the street. My next move, I will literally just walk half a block right into Venetian, Harrah's, Flamingo right there. Done.
Wow.
So I already got that planned up. Because, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, a couple of my friends are like, well, why don't you buy a house in Las Vegas? I'm like, buy a house in Las Vegas. I buy a house in Las Vegas, I'm going to be 20 to 30 minutes from the Strip. Who the hell wants to live in Vegas and pretend you're living in Vegas? You might as well buy a house in Scottsdale. You know, like, what's the difference?
That's right.
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 So, yeah. So I'm like, no, man. I already have an amazing apartment set up next. So I'll give you a bachelor story from the Strip of Las Vegas.
Hey, I want to hear it.
I went out. I just saw a local show on one of the backside Strip casinos. And and I drove there because it was free parking. I found free parking off the Strip, believe it or not.
Nice.
I was talking to a cabbie when I was going to the Washington-Oregon game on Friday night. I went to go see the Pac-12 championship here, and we were talking, and he pointed out, like, on the trip, he's like, yeah, that, you know, he goes, now that you're local, he goes, you know, that right there you can park for free there and you can grab a cab from there. And I was like, yeah, that's just like, that's literally like a block off the strip. So I went there, I was checking out a show there. Now I'm driving, I don't drink when I drive, and wanted to, you know, check out the surroundings there, hanging out at the bar, the lounge bar with the show, and I'm drinking seltzer water with lime, right? And good-looking woman, she's watching the show, turns around, couple, you know, like two chairs over, so one chair in between us. And she goes, hi. I was like, oh, hi, how you doing? I didn't see you there. I was like, no, you've been watching the show like I have. You wouldn't have seen me from unless you got eyes in the back of your head. And, you know, we bantered back and forth a little bit. And the bartender brought me over another seltzer with lime on ice.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I drink martinis. And I said, martinis are good. I go, but tonight I'm driving, so I'm not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you're not drinking? I go, no, this is just seltzer water and lime. I told the bartender, you know, freshen it up whenever you want. Take your tip, you know, because I had money on the bar.
Sure.
And she looked at me, looked at her martini, looked at me, looked at the bartender. Bartender literally just walked away. Because he knew she was ordering it, and he knew I was definitely not buying it for her.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, everywhere in Vegas, it's typical that, you know, you'd always just get a drink. And I said, yeah, I'm a local. I'm not a tourist. I said, so locals treat Vegas a lot differently than a tourist would. A tourist might be bringing, you know, an extra $1,000 for entertainment. And you might say, yeah, $25 for her drink. What's that out of $1,000? I don't do that as a local. My money's in my bank account. I just came out here to kind of check out the scene because I know there's free parking and I'm planning my Las Vegas strip routine now that I've been here a couple of months. And she goes, planning your Las Vegas strip routine? And I said, yeah, you know, like we all come here because we have some proficiency at something. You know, some people are horse handicappers. Some people count cards for blackjack, whatever it may be. I mean, whatever their proficiency is, this town was built on the work of gambling.
Right.
And she goes, and you're really not buying me a drink? And I said, no. Well, I'm not buying it. If I was drinking, I would buy you a drink. But I'm not drinking, so I can't partake.
Right.
I'm not going to enjoy it.
It's no fun.
Right.
Sure.
And she goes, well, where do you live? And I was like, well, from here, I live two blocks in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you drove here. I said, yeah, two blocks in Las Vegas is no joke to walk. Trust me.
Exactly.
I said, and, you know, it's getting colder, so to walk it at night. So, yeah, I wouldn't walk up. And I'm finding this, you know, free parking was amazing. And and it's right at the street from my place, so I can park. I can grab a cab from there, or I can walk the one block. So if it's nice out, I'll walk. If not, I grab a cab right from that place. And instead of paying, you know, $15 to $20, I'm paying $4, $5, $6. So, yeah, I figured that out. That's an easy thing to figure out here. And, like, there's the Bachelor-like story, like, she really expected it and asked twice. She couldn't take no for an answer the first time, you know.
That's right. Love it.
New York, Florida, California, happens everywhere, right? So, yeah, that just recently happened. I was like, I got a story for the Bachelor. Right from the
That's
Vegas.
A good one. Yeah, I mean, if we're not dating a woman, there's no sense to buy her a drink. I mean, I'm not a good Samaritan. Well, I am when I want to be. But when I'm out carousing around, every woman's got her hand out. Hey, can I have a drink? And I go, no, you get your own drink.
Right.
And then, when her girlfriend tries to make a big scene, I go, look, honey, you're all liberated now. Buy your own damn drinks.
Right.
Because when I know that all they want are drinks out of me. I know what I'm dealing with. And then I can be rude to them if I want to be and just walk away and go, buy your own. Enjoy. Yeah. Have a great night. Bye. See ya.
And I was furious with her. Like, if I was drinking, I would have bought her a drink. I had a really good shot. If I was out for the night, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm still in great shape. I mean, I consider myself a, you know, decent looking guy still. I could have taken her back. No problem, especially to my new apartment, because
sure.
It's nice, right? I could have
sure.
said, look, you know, grab your bikini. We're going to the rooftop hot tub, baby. You know, let's go back.
Right.
No, I mean, I still got game. So, yeah, but I wasn't drinking and I wasn't really in that realm, you know. So, you know, got younger guys. You got to pay attention to that. Don't get roped in to a scenario that's not going to work in your favor. Always be in control of the situation. If you're in control of the situation, not only are you in control of your money, but you're in control of the dynamic between you and that woman as well.
Right.
They don't like to give up the control. And when you take the control without their authorization, it throws them for a loop. They just don't know how to react anymore, you know.
That's true.
In her hometown, she's probably the hottest thing since sliced bread, you know.
That's
now
right.
She comes to Vegas.
And she knows
Yeah, she was good looking. I mean, she was nice. Really, you know, attractive. No ring, nothing. Probably a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, been here for a convention. I don't know. Cause I don't even care. I will start looking at the conventions, though. So if I see, like, home designer convention at Mandalay Bay, I'm going to start hanging out at Mandalay Bay going to the home designer convention, right? You know, the
right.
interior designers, right? So, like, I'm going to now start paying attention to the conventions that come into town. I'm going to map those out, and I'm going to go to all the convention hotels that are housing these women conventions. Because I have a feeling in the bachelor world, that's going to be easy picking.
Right.
And, you know, just like the gunslinger said a few nights ago, no tax on pussy. So,
that's right.
I don't even have to take.
No tax on pussy, damn it.
No tax on
pussy.
You want
no hoe inflation.
No hoe inflation. That's right. So I don't, and for the convention women, I don't have to take them back to my apartment. They have a hotel
sure.
room right there.
Bingo. That's where you want to go to her place.
We're going
that's
up
why
there,
they call
baby.
It Las Vegas, baby.
That's right. Look, we'll hang out tomorrow.
Yeah, I would use her hotel room.
You know, yeah.
Right. Right. See how things go first in her room. Maybe the next day to your place, but I would just use their Turista Hotels. Hang out with the girl there.
I'm going to make a calendar list, print it out, and frame it on my wall next to my computer for all the conventions that are coming up over the next 12 months. That's going to be
yeah.
my bachelor game plan here in Las Vegas is to keep getting the tourist woman, because I don't need a girlfriend in this town. Forget that shit. That'll just be a ball and chain. Why are you going out? What are you doing in the poker
right.
room? What do you mean? What? No.
Why aren't you home?
Jesus
yeah, you don't want all that
Christ.
Whining. Come on.
You know?
Life's too short.
Exactly.
I know. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I
no
admit
way.
It. I don't want it. Sometimes I think that's caring and concern. That to me is a ball and chain. That's how I look at it. I don't view it as caring and concern at all.
No.
She cares about you, Paul. That's why she's asking you all those questions. She cares.
Yeah, right.
You guys are so brainwashed.
The worst question any of my girlfriends has ever asked me is this exact question, and I've ended it right on this question all the time. What are you thinking? So if I'm sitting somewhere and I'm thinking on a sofa or a chair at the desk, you know, anywhere, if I'm just sitting thinking – and they come up and ask me, what are you thinking? What I'm always thinking is, do I really want to be in this relationship? And the answer always is, no. No, what I'm thinking is, I think we've reached the end of our relationship. I think this is it. You know.
Well, not everything is meant to last forever. And I agree with you, Paul. Sure, I mean, women should be very careful and ask that because they might get the truth.
Right.
And the guy might feel it's annoying, you know?
Silver, gold, platinum, and diamonds are the only thing on planet Earth that was made, produced to last forever. Other than that,
That's right. Yep. Relationships come and go. Well, I said girlfriends come and go, guys. Friends even come and go. Jobs come and go. The weather comes and goes. It's like the weather. It's like the ebb and tide of the oceans, right? Everything is fleeting in this life. And you grab what you can while we're passing through town. And I've always said the best revenge is living well.
That's revenge. I live my life by that mantra, you know.
Yes.
And also for all the naysayers in anyone's life, I've lived by this mantra as well. I have to find a way to prove them wrong. And this way,
Yes. You
just go do your own thing. You don't have to find them and put it in their face, because if you find a way to prove them wrong, then you are living well, and they hate that. I mean, they really hate
it.
Yes,
they do.
They will MF you up and down for being the son of a bitch. You screwed them somehow, some way. You know, I dealt with it with some of my family members. I dealt with it with some business associates that you happen to know of. You know, you screwed them.
Yes.
You know, and it's always funny that the person living well would care less if they actually make it or break it after you divorce yourself from that friendship or business relationship, because they're all like marriages. You know, I don't wish anybody any harm. Even, you know, my previous business partners from Home Loans of Arizona, refinancemyhome.com, all that, I always wished them well, and one of them still remains friendly with me. The other one thought that I screwed him by leaving the company when they bought me out, when the whole financial debacle happened in real estate and mortgages. And I'm like, look, get out. Our third partner was willing to give him the same amount of money he gave me to walk. And he said, we're still friends. I have to take the risk, because he was invested too deep in all his personal debt. But, you know, and I told my third partner, take the money. He's willing to pay you in a friendship manner. Can't, because I'm in as much debt as him. You're the one that's not in debt. Yeah, well, I live my life smartly. I didn't go into debt, you know?
Right.
So there always is a catch. It's always your fault. You know, I learned a long time ago, I was taught a lesson by a business owner, and he was the main partner out of four partners. I'm sorry, they had five partners. Four other partners and him. He was the general partner. And a lesson he taught me was take responsibility for any and all failures, even if it's not completely your fault. Just take responsibility for it, and here's why. Number one, of the man that makes you, to take responsibility for it. We're all human. We're not machines. We're supposed to make mistakes. And the one person who can take complete ownership of any screw-up, debacle, fuck-up, whatever you want to call it, is the one person that will make sure that it'll never happen again, because you'll find a way.
Uh-huh.
And he said, look, if you learn this lesson, and he was right, I had never made over $100,000 a year when I met him. He said, if you learn this lesson, you will start making over $100,000 a year in this business with me, because he was making, you know, tons of money. And the other four partners were too. And when I learned the lesson within 2 weeks and brought back the success that was the previous failure in 2 weeks, he was like, oh, shit. And I said, what? He said, I have to fire one of my junior partners, who's my brother-in-law, and put you in his position, because he never learned this lesson, and he's not willing to, and you did it in 14 days.
Wow.
And he did. He fired his brother-in-law, who started a business on his own, competing with that company, couldn't really compete with us, and he made me a junior partner, and I made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of my,
nice.
You know, he was one of my last, he was probably my last mentor. I had many mentors
mm-hmm.
up through that time. And I was about 30, 31, 32, 33 years old, living in New England
mm-hmm.
at the time. And
mm-hmm.
learning that lesson, it was so valuable. Like, take responsibilities for the failures, even if it's not yours. If it's within your realm, in any company, any business opportunity, even in a relationship, if it's within your realm, take responsibility for it. Because nobody else is. They're not gonna. They don't want it. They're gonna blame everybody
right.
else anyways. Even if they caused the issue. Right? Take responsibility
mm-hmm.
for it. And then do something. Take an action to make sure that that mistake, that error, that screw up, fuck up never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
And see what the kind of person, the kind of man it makes of you. And
right.
so for all the young bachelors out there, do that, and you're like, take responsibility for it. Don't say it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. It's theirs. You know, they affected me. It's not, you know, this is all happening to me because somebody else. No, it's happening to you because of you. No matter what, you're either allowing it or it's happening to you because you're doing it. So even if it's somebody else, just take responsibility and fix it. Somebody's got to be a fixer. Fix it.
That's
and make
right.
sure it's fixed correctly. And learn how much you grow from keep fix. Here's the one, the second lesson out of that that he taught me. Learn how much you grow mentally, you know, ability. Every time you fix one of these issues, you're going to grow bigger, better, badder. Nobody's going to mess with you because they're going to know they have to do it right, or you're going to take it over and do it correctly, and you're going to get all the credit because it's only the person that can take responsibility for the failures who can get credit for the successes, people
mm-hmm.
who blame others for the failures, who never take responsibility. They, you know, they'll try to take credit for the successes, but they know it's not their work. They know it's not what they did. And they're
right.
very squeamish. They're like alligator arms on that one. You know, they'll wait to see if anybody
exactly.
else says, yeah, yeah, good job, good job. They'll wait for that reassurance from other people before they really step into it and
mm-hmm.
lie to themselves. But they never grow from that because they never do it. The person who takes responsibility then grows from it, gets the credit for the successes. They are the successful people in this country. Young bachelors, learn that lesson and learn it well. It'll change your life. It'll change your destiny.
Love it. Love it. Gladiator, great call, my friend. Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome, brother.
You,
have a great night.
Great. You too, man. Talk to you Thursday night.
You know it. Thanks, sir. The Gladiator from the Las Vegas Strip. Great call. He's right. We're changing lives on this show. We're changing bachelor lives tonight especially. Changing lives, making things better. Learn the creed. Learn what you need to know. You'll feel better. You'll look better. And you'll think better. And it's kind of like that TV show back in the day, which is called Heart to Heart. Check this out.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hahn, a self-made millionaire. He's quite a guy. This is Mrs. H. She's gorgeous. She's one lady who knows how to take care of herself. By the way, my name is Max. I take care of both of them, which ain't easy. Because when they met, it was mad.
Well, I think we'll go to overtime tonight with the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. And great calls there from American Scotch, Gunslinger, and the Gladiator. Live from the Las Vegas Strip. All good intel, good stuff. Guys, I'm the best callers in the biz. I think we have Ron Reck in the green room. But first, we'll talk about this. The Chinese Asian chicks. I have their dossier at my desk. And they've already heard over there in big China, Vietnam, Thailand, where you guys like to go, that the white women in America don't want to put out and have sex with you. They've already heard it. They already know it. These Asian girls say, we're stealing your white American men left and right, and we love it. The Asian girls like white guys. And she says, we will have sex with them unlike your American bitches. We will have their families. And they're also saying we will get their sperm. Didn't I tell you, boys, that your sperm is liquid gold to most women? Every one of our Asian friends has married a white guy, she said. And the Asian women have already heard of the low sex drive of the American woman. Well, if you're an American woman, you got some competition. If you're listening in tonight, curious what the men are talking about, I'm telling it to your face, baby. Passport bros, expat travel, MGTOW, men going their own way. It's happening. It's been happening since World War II. But now it's really happening. If you women want to wrote down a guy in America, Texas style, like the gunslinger said, you better get your ass in gear, honey. Seriously. Now, I met a guy in business who told me, and he was throwing a big party, and he goes, well, I only want you there. Because it's, I said, why? I'd love to go, but why? He said, his friend just stopped having to pay alimony to his ex-wife. Get this. She was making 85 grand per year at home, hanging out, doing her nails, doing nothing. And now the money trail has stopped cold turkey, and she's crying about it to her friends. But it's not his problem anymore. And he told me, I hear, Yvonne, that she blew through all the money, too. Hate to say it to the typical American woman. They can't save a nickel to their name in the very end. And why many men always say that they are only good for one thing. Well, there you have it. There you have it. And all societies want young men to get married because it's good for the economy, damn it. I love that. Remember Hunter Biden? He had that Arkansas big blonde that he banged, had to pay her 20 grand per month. She was pretty good-looking Arkansas girl. Well, and people say sperm isn't as valuable as gold bars. As the Mexicans say, como señor? Really? Well, it is in America today. Drive around as an attorney billboard all over Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas, L.A. You name the city, and I'll name the billboard. They don't make it like they used to, but we all still love Charlie's Angels. We'll be right back. Love that. Well, let's get Ron on the show. This is Ron Reck. Welcome to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show. How you doing out there, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. Having a good show tonight. Talking about American dating scene, a little bit of this and that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really look at the dating scene much anymore because I'm it's a fact I'm gay, you know. And, you know, not people, well, you're gay. Yeah, well, I am. I'm a stone-cold fucking lesbian. I love pussy. Love it. Can't get enough of it. But anyway.
Yeah. A lesbian in a man's body. Love it.
Oh, absolutely. Crap for years. For years. But I can't resist it. The smell of the stench of the old plitage. I can't stop myself.
Oh,
but, you know,
it's incredible.
But you're right about the American woman. Yeah, well, you know. I mean, my wife's American and all that shit, and she's cool. But, you know, it's kind of been over, man. You know, so my other girlfriends.
They don't make them like they used to, Ron. That's what I was saying. Your wife's a gem, probably.
No, well, yeah, she's a nice looking broad, but, I haven't had enough of it. I got to move on, you know. The only reason I don't divorce her, because she could take over half of my wealth, okay? And you're talking about
exactly. The
cat with all the money and shit. Well, I got a lot of money.
It's cheaper to keep her, they say. Cheaper to keep her, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The tax benefits are outstanding. You know, I got 501c and all that shit. I'm a rich guy, you know, so I know how to cheat taxes and legally do it. Legally. There's nothing getting nothing.
Right.
I'm not breaking law ever. You know, and that's how it works. People with money learn how to play the game. That's all it is.
That's right.
You learn how to play. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't take a look at the advantages they have. Everything, it's right there in front of you. But we, you know, we play too stupid. We're lazy. That's why. Most American people are fucking lazy. You know, they might work their ass off every day out there baling hay every fucking day and, you know, shoveling shit, but they ain't using the brain. Exercise that fucking muscle a little bit. Then you'll fucking catch on to reality of life. You know, I mean, I live a good lifestyle. I do. I have everything anybody ever wants. You know what I mean? But I don't brag on it, and I don't go out and buy Ferraris and Jags and all that stupid, silly shit. You know, I have a Rolex watch. Yes, I do. Yes, I do have nice vehicles. I do have a nice house. Our house is. I don't own one house. I own two, three, well, six properties. But them things didn't come cheap. You know, it didn't. I had to work for these things.
Right.
But the thing is, I learned one critical lesson. This was back in college, okay? I always went to college for all my fucking upbringing. But anyway, I had a friend of mine that was an RN, registered nurse. He was in college to become a surgical nurse, okay? Even though it wasn't even my thing, but the college offered whatever they did, and that class was available, and he did whatever. He got home to me one day and said, man, I need to talk to you, really talk to you really bad. I said, what's up, man? And he wasn't gay either. He's a straight-up guy, you know. He had a girlfriend, all kinds of shit. But now he's a doctor. Today he's a doctor. But anyway, he asked me, he goes, you're a magician. You know about mathematics by far. I got a problem. I said, what's that? He goes, well, I got this credit card, and he gave me a $50,000 credit limit. I said, oh, okay. That's nice. He goes, but I missed a payment. I said, okay, what's the deal? He goes, well, they said my interest went from 6.9 to 29.9%. And he goes, is that just for this one payment? I said, I don't know. Let me see your shit. Let me see your contract and all that. So I read it all. I said, well, you're entirely fucked now. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, 29.9% is forever. They don't go away. Once you fucked up, you done gained consent to fuck you. So that 29% compounded monthly on that fucking car loan, or the car you bought, the money you used to buy the car, is now going to be cost you probably four times what the car was actually worth.
Exactly.
In the end. So you could have bought four of them. Okay? So that's why I learned that lesson.
Thank you.
So I learned that lesson right then and there. He did it for me. And he's a good friend still today. And he still brings that up to me, you know. But the point is, here's where I look. Don't go on credit card debt. Don't get student loans. Don't fuck with them, okay? So I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, okay? So when I walked out of college, I walked out of there as an electrician, okay? Then I went back and did two more years and became an electrical engineer. Then I got my PhD in physics. So I went for the money. I mean, I guarantee fucking to you I went for money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my average hourly stock back in the late 80s, my salary was $85 an hour. So, you know, that's more than a doctor.
That was big money back then. Big money.
Yes, it was. So, but I was smart with my money. I wasn't stupid. firstly, what do I do for a living? I'm an electrician. What do I do with electricity? Okay. But I work for a power company, right? Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Utility. That's where the money's at, utility. So I invested in utilities. Mm-hmm. I invested in oil, invested in utilities. Matter of fact, I invested in a little company one time and bought over 100 shares of this shit called Microsoft when it was penny stocks. Yeah, remember that? It was penny stocks, okay?
How many times has that stock split?
Well, it split many times. Many times,
I lost count, yeah.
Well, anyway, I had a friend of mine that invested with me. He calls me up. I didn't know nothing about it. I had no idea Microsoft just fucking exploded, okay? And he calls me because how's it feel to be a millionaire? And I said, how's it feel to be fucking retarded? And she says, well, it's not bad. It's not bad being a retard. I said, what are you talking about being a millionaire? He goes, have you seen the stock? I said, what do you mean, Microsoft? He goes, yeah. You ain't seen that? I said, no, I just got work, man. You need to start looking. You know, watch TV. Start looking. So I went in. It was like 4:30. I sit there and smoked a joint, drink a beer, waiting for the news to come on. News came on. They said Microsoft had jumped up like fucking, like 80-some fucking dollars a share. And
nice.
It split. I mean, this motherfucker split like a fucking earthquake, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, you know? I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm up all night long. I called everybody. I knew my friends, buddy. I'm throwing a party. I ain't going to work tomorrow. Fuck them, too. So anyway, next morning, I get a phone to my broker. And I said, okay, what's up with this Microsoft? He goes, well, how's it feel to be a millionaire? I said, well, how much money do I got? He goes, well, you're a little bit over about $1.5 million. I said, get the fuck out of town. You got to be fucking kidding me.
Nice.
No, I'm not kidding you. I said, is that before or after? I said, well, you know, that's before, but, you know, you ain't going to be hurting. You ain't going to be hurting at all for this. I said, holy shit. I said, well, what do I do? Do I cash out? He goes, no, wait. So I did. I waited 10 years.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah. So
what was that worth when you sold it?
5.7.
If you sold it.
5.7.
Oh, my God.
I walked away.
That's a good time to sell. Yeah, I'd sell for 5.7 mil.
Yeah.
Take the risk off the table. Time to cash out. Exactly.
Because the more I go, the more they're going to want. Right. The more, exactly. That's what I did. And that's when I got into the auction bug and all that shit was going on. TV commercial.
Smart.
You can make a bunch of money at auctions. Well, you can if you got the money to invest. And you got to remember what you're buying into.
Yep.
You know, I specifically targeted estate sales, okay? A lot of people, what do you mean? Why that? Why estate sales? I said, well, here's the reason why. The family, the person of this that owned this estate at one point in time died, okay? The family don't care about none of that shit. They just want the money and get the fuck out. They're going to take whatever they can get.
Right.
But at that option, when you realize when they're just taking whatever they can get, they're letting shit go for free, practically. Okay? So when you're talking shit that if it was worth, you know, say $10,000, they're going to let it go for $100. I mean, I've seen some crazy shit. I bought some crazy shit. You know what I mean? Made tons of money. And so I didn't have to work no more. I simply don't have to work. You know, but I'm a musician,
right.
So I still kept going. But I own a tire company. I still own an automotive shop and tire company today. Still own it. I mean, I have a recording studio. Own that, too. You know, that's a couple hundred grand sitting out there in a fucking building.
Oh, easy.
So,
oh, yeah. A studio,
I'm just talking the content. I ain't talking about the building. I'm talking about the content. But I built the building specifically for that. It's built actually to record it. I mean, it ain't no thick wall shit. It's all concrete. This one's solid box, man. It's awesome.
Nice.
Anyway, but I'm a drummer and guitarist and a vocalist. So, you know, I played a lot of big names in the business. But I never got rich at it. I mean, I can't say later on in life I didn't do bad. I still don't do bad. But it ain't what you think it is. In the music business, and, you know, when I was a teenager, I was on the road. You know, I was on the road. My band was popular. We was opening up for open big name acts. But the thing is, somebody told me one time, an old musician told me, is you need a plan B. You're always going to need a plan B. So what that meant, some type of trade. Because in the music business, it doesn't mean it's always going to be there. And I've also been on the radio.
Right.
I was on FM radio. I was on FM radio, too. You know, I used to host shows and do all that kind of shit and all this. And but there again, that's another one. You got to have plan B. Because it don't pay much. And when it does die, it dies. It's death. I mean, back in my young days, before I had any money, we were stealing vegetables out of people's gardens, man, to be able to smoke. You know,
Sure.
It sounds sad, you know. But it's just the way it is. You've got to have a backup plan. For anything you do in your life, you got to have a backup. You know, real estate investing is okay, but it's a fucking, it's now it's a fucking joke. You know, real estate is a joke.
Oh, for sure.
I never financed
those days are over.
Right, mm-hmm. But I've learned you can get, you can make a lot more money by offering cash. You know, I just, matter of fact, mm-hmm. I bought a car here recently. This past couple of years ago, I bought a car. It's a used car. I don't want nothing new. I don't want to pay that markup bullshit price. And I don't
me
want
either.
Electrics. I know better. Okay, I know better. So anyway, me and my wife, we were looking for like a GMC train or something like that, like an SUV. Because my pop was real sick. It's hard to get him out of the Lincoln because he has a Lincoln. Of course, he's got a bad and that shit. But anyway, it was just hard to handle him to get him in the car, you know. So I wanted something to step a little bit taller. I could turn him out of his wheelchair and just sitting down, you know, in there. So higher elevation was better. Well, he died. Life went on, blah, blah, blah. So I built him a new house. I built Grandpa and Grandma a new house. I built one, okay, on the property. They never had to worry about nothing. Never had to worry about a power bill. Well, I haven't paid a power bill in fucking years. Well, except for the summer.
Nice.
I mean, except here. This is all runs off wind turbine and solar. So that's how this all runs. But anyway, I just realized something. Wait a minute. So my wife and me decided, you know, we don't really like that carpet in the house. And Grandma picked it out. It's kind of shitty. You know, the house only maybe 3 years old, you know. But anyway, we went to change carpet. We're going to move into it. We're going to move out our old house and move into this new one. So anyway, we decided to take a trip to Home Depot. And we said, well, let's go to this dealership, this new dealership, and take a look around and see what they got. So I was still kind of nervous in the SUV because we got grandkids now and all that shit. We're old people. Now I'm an old fucker. God. I'm at the crazy screaming along here rocker I used to be, you know.
Never
but I still
old
do
fucker.
It.
God, I love that.
I still rock on. I still rock like a bad motherfucker. I don't play around.
You do rock on, Ron.
Yeah, I do, brother. But anyway, so we pull in the Chevrolet dealership, and this, you know, I've seen two trains sitting there. And one thing I don't do is front-wheel drive. So I'm also a mechanic. I know better. You know, plus some front-wheel drives. I can't stand them. Anyway, unless you're in a pinch and you got all money, so you're poor to buy, fucking do it. But anyway,
sure.
We pulled up there, and this old gentleman, he's like in his 70s, okay, he was a salesman. And I said, yes, sir, I just want to know about the two GMC trains out there. Are them front-wheel drives? Are they all-wheel drive? He goes, well, they're front-wheel drives. Yeah, no, I don't want that. So I'm looking for some, like, 3.6-liter all-wheel drive. He goes, well, this one right here just came out of the back a few minutes ago. I looked at it, I said, what is this thing? He goes, this is an Arcadia. And it's then I seen over on the side, it said, Nolly, right there, buck, you know. Denali, nah. So I know this motherfucker's loaded. It's got everything you'd ever fucking want in any car, right? And this thing's rated with a Cadillac Escalade, you know? I'm like, Dr. Lawyer Pimp Bar. No. And I said, okay, well, out of curiosity, my wife's on the other side of the car and I'm on the side. And I said, well, what are they asking for? He goes, well, I don't know. They haven't put a sticker on it yet. I said, okay. He goes, I'll be right back. So he comes back and he's shaking his head. He goes, something ain't right. Something seems kind of funny. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, they want 16.5 for it. I'm like, okay, what's so funny about that, you know? He goes, well, these usually don't leave out here for in the upper 20s, low 30s, you know? And I said, okay. I said, so they want 16,500. He goes, yep. And I said, what kind of miles? And he said, 100-something, nothing, no, it doesn't mean shit no more. So I said, okay, well, since you said 16,000, and I mean, I wasn't dressed in my fucking tin. I'm driving my fucking diesel pickup truck, you know what I mean? And it looks nice.
Sure.
It ain't nice, ain't fancy, shiny, anything like that. One of them is, but not this one that particular day. So I said to him, I said, what would they entertain if I paid cash? What kind of price could you give me if I paid cash for his car? He goes, I don't know. Let me go inside and I'll find out. I said, okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back inside, comes back out, shakes his head again. He goes, boy, it must be your lucky day. And I said, why is that? He goes, they said they take off $550. So it'll be $15,950 for this car. I said, when can I get it? He goes, you got the money? I said, yes, I do. I don't have it with me. He goes, you got $500? I said, yes, I do. He goes, come on inside. Let's sign a contract. Okay, let's do it. So went in, signed the contract, gave him $500 down. And he goes, when do you want delivery? I said, when can I get it? You get it right fucking now if you want it. I said, well, follow me home. Okay. So he followed me home.
Wow.
I got out, you know, $15,500-something, you know, or $400-something, you know.
Yeah.
And I ended up with the $500 I put down. So I drove him back to the dealership. I got the receipt for the cash. No problem. Went home. No big deal. Not thinking nothing of it. No
nice.
Because my wife's happy. She likes it. As long as she's happy, I'm cool, right? So I'm a truck guy. I'm not a car kind of guy. I just don't get cars so much. But anyway,
oh, I love cars.
And it's a sweet motherfucker. It's a sweet motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
These Arcadia Denalis are really nice. You know, especially all-wheel drive. That's
oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like Jay Leno if I had the money. Have a big warehouse full of 100 cars. That would be me if I ever won the Powerball. Oh, yeah.
Bond,
love
shut
it. And motorcycles,
up,
too.
What do you want?
I want
take
it all.
Come on up. I'm in Branson, Missouri. Take a pick on my lot. Come check it out, man. I got
a
question.
Oh, yeah. Branson's a good town. I need to get out there one of
these
days. Beautiful
area,
man.
I don't live in Branson. It is, but I don't live in Branson. No, I don't live in the city. I'm like 32 miles east. I'm out in the woods in the Marquette National Forest. Yeah,
in the country.
I'm in the sticks, beautiful country. I'm by Tamarack, Bull Shoals Lake. And there's Tamarack, too, and all that shit. Tanicomo, all that. Plenty of fishing, plenty of hunting, plenty of everything you want. All right, real nice. Clean air, nice. So we got these illegal immigrants moving in here, and I'm not liking that. But what can you do? Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you. But anyway, this car deal, anyway, so I got this car. Well, the next morning I get a phone call from the dealership to some lady. And she goes, yes, sir, Mr. Breck, your title's ready to pick it up any time. So, okay, well, I'll be on the way. I'll come get it. So I jumped in the Arcadia, and I took off and went to the dealership. And I said, I walked in the door of the main office, and they said, what's the building over there? You got to go over there. And it's in the very back. So I went over there, walked in there. Some the guy said, yeah, go in the back. That's related to the back. I'll take care of you. Okay, thank you. So I walked back here, and this lady's shaking her head. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? These people like to shake their fucking heads like. But she's shaking her head like she's pissed off and mad at me, okay? Like I did something wrong, okay? And she goes, are you Ron Reck? Yeah, that's what I said. She says, are you Ron Reck? I said, yes, ma'am. I says, well, here's your title, and you might be responsible for somebody losing their job. I'm like, what? Yeah, what do you mean somebody
about?
Losing their job? Yeah, but she's talking
what
about the fucking care. Right, yeah,
what
exactly.
Do?
I think wrong. Right.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I said, man. So I got defensive a little bit. I didn't.
I don't blame you. I'd be really defensive.
Right.
What the
fuck are you talking about,
woman?
Well, I didn't want to encourage you because I know where it was.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, of course.
But anyway, I don't understand.
You.
Right. I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. She said, well, that car was sold to you under false pretense. I said, what do you mean false pretense, man? Somebody lied to me? No. Pretty much somebody fucked us. Okay, well, can you explain to me in details what you're speaking of, ma'am, so I would understand to clarify this? Or do you just want the car back? Give me the $15,000 back, and I'll fucking leave. No, it's too late. The deal's been done. That's okay. That's great. So what's the deal? She says, well, that car, you paid cost of what we paid for the car. Matter of fact,
that's not my problem.
That's right. But the $16,500 was the price they paid for the car. The $550 they gave away. That was free money. That $550 fucking dollars they took off the price of that car. They fucked yourself in. So they gave away the dealership's money. Okay, so I got
that's my problem.
Exactly.
That's
right.
The cost of doing business. I call it the cost of doing business.
Right. Well, I got the title. The car is mine. Nope, they can't nothing fucking do about it. Blah blah blah. Of course, I got to go up to the county, the license bureau, get it registered, pay the tax and all that shit, blah, blah. There's another couple grand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what? That's exactly what I did. The minute they done inspected the car for me, man. They done put me a temporary tag on this motherfucker and everything. They did it all. It was sweet. I showed up to the fucking the DMV and got tags for it and all that shit, man. I got it all. Fuck you all. I got insurance and everything. I'm a fucking power company. I got commercial insurance, fucker. Doesn't matter. So anyway. no big deal. I'm not thinking nothing of it. So anyway, I get an email from these people the next Monday. This is on a Sunday. Dealership, I didn't know they ran their office on a Sunday. But they offered me $25,000 to buy that car back from me. You know?
Really?
Yeah. They offered me $25,000 back. Yeah. They fucked up. They fucked up bad. So
they really did.
I said, I don't know. I got to talk to my wife about it. I didn't say nothing about it. Next thing I know, the next Tuesday, I get a letter in the mail from them. They're offering me $27,000 for the car back now. I'm like, what the fuck? There must be some dope in this motherfucker. Something's up, you know?
There must be gold bars in there or something.
I thought, no. Well, yeah, bigger. If they only gave $16,500, the car should have listed at $35,000.
I would have that car scanned.
Well, we did. We went through it. But anyway. The car should have went for $35,200. That's what it should have been marked at. Ain't that crazy?
Sure.
Because used car market
that
time years ago was insane. Even though still today it's still fucking insane. But
that's insane.
Yeah. $35,200 the value of that car. So,
right.
You know, hey, I'm sorry you didn't take care of it. You should have had it done before you put it on the fucking lot.
That's
I mean,
right.
The sales manager was the guy who lost his job, and I'm sorry about that. But, you know, he made the call. I didn't
he'll,
make my
he'll
call.
Never make that
me.
Mistake again either.
Well, he's not having a job there anymore, but, you know.
People are going to lose their job or heads got to roll for them to freaking learn. Hate
well,
to say
that's what I mean
but...
by people being lazy. People are lazy.
Yeah.
They don't think, man. They try to think with their head. They're not thinking of reality. You know, this guy
that's
was
right.
only paying attention to some fucking number, and here it is, a file in the car says, you know, well, 16.5. Okay, 16.5. That's what we want, apparently. Not realizing that's the price they paid for the car. Well, something
right.
must have been wrong with the paperwork. How could you not realize this?
He
you know, so
focused on the
man.
Wrong number. And for
he
that,
right.
he deserved to lose his job. Hate to say it.
All right.
He'll find another one.
I mean,
he'll be fine. Yeah.
All right. But you figure the company is losing what? You figure if I gave 16 bar, it was 35. So, you know, they lost close to 10 grand on a sale. You know,
sure.
Yeah. So I would be a little irate. I'd be a little pissed to myself, you know. But,
and that's why you're successful and they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
It's not, like I said, it's all common sense, though. It's not that difficult.
It is common sense.
I know
totally
doctors,
agree.
I know doctors and lawyers are completely fucking stupid, and they have money. They have money, but
sure.
they're dumb as fuck. You know? And I asked them, I said, I'll tell you guys what. What would ever happen to you people if you lost your job? What the fuck would you do? Oh, that would happen. Really? Really? You count on that much, really? You have no backup.
That'll
plan,
never
you have no
happen.
You have, put all your big $9 shit up for auction. That's what I look. I'm looking for people like you, and shit goes up for auction. So that $7,000 Rolex, you know, I bought it for $7. I'm happy, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to try and throw
right.
this motherfucker on Marketplace and get at least a couple grand out of it on you, you know?
Well, that's what I want to do some days, just go to estate sales and buy and sell. To make some extra retirement cash for the fun of it.
It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. But it depends.
That's
like
the plan.
The two targets I look at mostly in any estate sale is one going to be a car. The car or a camper or a boat. But the boat's got to be something decent. It's got to be something nice. But here's the thing. I backed off of buying boats anymore because the fact is people ain't buying them anymore. They can't afford to buy them. That's the problem. The
That's
them.
Right. The
right.
boat
they
market
buy,
is
buying toys.
Even made zero hedge.
Yes, absolutely. But like I said, it, you know, you look at some. There's two things people look for. One, a place to stay. Campers right now are the hottest commodity tickets right now. You can sell a goddamn camper even if you don't have a title for it right now for a bunch of money. I mean, it's
that's right.
crazy. It's got. You know, and then here's the other,
I agree.
Here's another problem. The like camper world that sells campers and all new campers shit. They're not selling like they thought they were going to because the market's too high. Market's too high. Banks ain't want to loan money on a risk. Banks ain't going to do it. They're not loaning money on cars. I mean, you got to have substantial fucking credit and have at least 20 years in fucking employment. Really, to consider talking to you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's hurting the dealers. So it's hurting the dealers. So that's why the used car market's high. And these electric cars, that's the biggest fucking joke known to man. Them motherfuckers ain't moving nowhere. You know, so
they
that's
are
great.
A joke
thank you, Joe. Thank you. You, Joe Biden has caused me to make a lot of money. You know, it does. So, I mean,
right.
sheer stupidity. I take advantage of stupid shit. I say it, Bond, but I do. I mean, that's, you know.
I do, too.
That's what you got to do. Yeah, exactly. And as far as women go, fuck them. If they got money, good credit score, I'll fuck them. That's it.
I
ain't out
agree. I'll
mm-hmm.
fuck them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love
I'm going to be a bitch.
Run around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't call me crazy for nothing.
Pleasure, brother. Always a pleasure.
You too,
I
Bob.
Love your rant on the cars and the women tonight. Great stuff.
Right
man.
On. Anyway, check out my show. I'm going to plug it, Crazy Nation Radio. We're the craziest. You can't beat us. So there you go.
Yeah. Tell the audience when your show is on.
Well, Crazy Nation Radio is on spontaneously. Generally, we're on usually, it's on the weekends, Saturday night, Mondays, Tuesday. It just depends on when I feel like doing it. I'm kind of spoiled, you know. Generally, it's usually Saturday night, Monday night, maybe Sunday. It just depends. It depends on where I'm at. You know, it just depends on what
gotcha.
I'm in. I'm kidding, Yvonne. You know, we're usually Saturday night. Saturday night, we're on
awesome,
two throughout the week.
And, you know, we talk about politics and law and all the crazy shit going on. So, anybody want to check it out?
Yeah, I like your show.
You know?
I've heard your show several times. I need to call in. Right or wrong, Crazy Nation Radio. Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
You bet.
Ron Reck for the beautiful Ozark country out there. And I've been through there a few times before. It is drop-dead gorgeous. Clean water, clean air, good people, real patriots. Crazy Nation Radio. I am more than happy to plug any good show that we like. And, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, we're in our famous overtime hour here of the show. And get a cocktail or get a drink, an adult beverage, because Tony Montana's the boss, and he's got balls in this world.
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one.
Who put this thing together? Me!
Yeah.
That's who! Who do I trust? Me!
Yeah. It ain't an eye on this one. Hey. Yeah. From me, Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, I'm Tony Montana, hey, from me, Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, I'm Tony Montana, hey, from nothing to something, hey, I'm Tony Montana, I'm Tony Montana, hey, from me, Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, I'm Tony Montana.
He's Tony Montana. Like Ron Reck says, guys, you got to get balls out there, make some money. All you've got is your word and your balls. If you come from nothing, that's okay. Guess what? If you're a poor guy, like my dad used to say, you can only go up. Think about it.
This country, you got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman. The woman, the woman, the woman, the woman.
Tony Montana, Tony Montana, pushing that word like Tony Montana. Tony Montana, Tony Montana, quick to take your bitch like Tony Montana.
Scarface, 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 Scarface. At the club, I'm packing that heat like Scarface, Scarface, Scarface.
That's right. Every guy is Scarface at one time in his life. And sometimes, well, you know what I mean, if you're out there working hard, I wouldn't put it past anybody. You may have to do a few shitty things every now and then to make ends meet. I never judge a man if he's providing for his family. He could be in the local mafia. Or maybe he's working three or four jobs. Whatever his situation in life. Look, he's putting food on the table for his family, his kids, and that means a lot to me and to them. So as a man coming up, you're a young buck, you got to think outside the box. You got to be ready for anything in life, you know? It's tough out there. Fight inflation, eating at your wallet, nipping at your heels, squeezing you dry, like a turnip. 15, 20%, 100% in some categories, depending on what you're buying, only going to get worse, you know? It's crazy out there. Unbelievable. It's getting harder for a guy to make any money. Once you get about the middle part of the country, if you're a young bachelor, it's where you can buy a decent home for and not break the bank. Average home price of Phoenix Scottsdale, as I've told you before, is now $500,000. L.A., 1 to 1.5 million. San Diego, about 900 grand to 1.2 million. East Coast, just as bad. When I was a kid out there in California, it was the Golden State. Really and truly. I wonder maybe 10, 20 grand more back then when I was a kid. It was always a bit of a premium for the great weather and the beautiful coastline and the beautiful California babes. But now they wanted a pint of blood, your firstborn, and they want you to be a slave to the mortgage on those 30, 40, 50-year mortgages they're offering. You'll never pay the house off. The bank will always own it. You'll be making payments to your 90. And that's the way they want it. Well, on this show, we're kind of nostalgic once in a while. We'll think about different things. We'll put a lot of things out there for you guys to think about and chew on. Here's how California used to be back in the day.
I'm going to be poor because I don't ever want to be poor.
Then you won't.
I decided right then and there I wasn't going to live like that. I needed to get as far away as possible. I moved to California in the summer of 1968 with the tuna. We had $300 and a black TR-3. There sure was nothing like this back home. It was paradise. We got a small one-bedroom apartment right on the beach. Wasn't much, but it had its perks.
George.
You need some help?
California was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Hey, where's the beer?
People were liberated, independent, full of new ideas. They used words like right on, groovy, solid. The women were beautiful. And they all seemed to share the same occupation.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
Yeah, on the airplane.
Just love that scene for the movie Blow. So cool, man. So cool.
Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Pourtant c'est lui que tu veux calmer. Et tu m'oublies peu à peu. Je sais qu'un jour viendra, tu tomberas dans ses bras. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Mais il est déjà trop tard. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Mais tu l'aimes déjà. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Un jour, il fera mouche, tu tomberas sur sa bouche. Tu ne peux pas résister quand il vient te parler. Je vois ses yeux qui s'accrochent à ses yeux. Non, tu ne peux pas résister. Il sait que c'est plus fort que toi. Et comme il te veut, un jour il t'aura. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Mais tu te prends à son jeu. Il est bien trop dangereux. Oh non, tu ne vois pas comme il s'amuse de toi. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Il ne faut plus le revoir. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Il fera ton désespoir. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Jamais. Non, jamais, ne le revois plus jamais. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Il ne faut plus le revoir. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Il ne faut plus le revoir. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer. Il ne faut plus le revoir. Ne me laisse pas l'aimer.
Il ne faut plus le revoir. A little bit of the classic Brigitte Bardot, late 1960s, really cool song there. Well, do you feel the anti-bachelor sentiment in America right now? The war against men, perhaps. The war on white men, especially, which you talked about on the Thursday show. And we talked about sex dolls and sex robots. Is that our dystopian future? Really? Hope not. I prefer the real thing, just for the record, Senator. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. The Playboy Mansion and the Playboy Philosophy. Can you even find a wife if you wanted one? We were not promised anything on this planet Earth. So in my view, you should make good use of your time here while we're here passing through town. And also, well, think about chicks. How about the temperature in your home? Can you open up a window sometime? freaking out and saying she's cold. It's the little things in life that get into your damn day, right? God, so true. Well, the last few shows, we talked about the work life, the expat lifestyle, the female ultimatum. And by the way, about that, as you know, America's policy is that we do not negotiate with terrorists. Don't forget that. The Asian yin-yang thing. And have you tried dating an American woman today? Call them to the show next month if you have. Is she a tatted-up whore who only cares about herself? Does she have the tramp stamp prominently displayed over her ass? Maybe she does. Most, and that is okay. The much harder road in life is to be and stay a bachelor. But the perks of the job can be amazing. Your house is your own domain and castle. You own all the square feet. All the closet and shelf space is yours. And you don't have to share with anyone. You are the alpha male of your own destiny, and you can design it any way you want. On the weekends, you have no honey-do list. There is no pecking order at home, since you are the top dog of the house and castle. No nagging bitch in your home telling you what to do. No woman giving you lip or challenging you or trying to dictate or control every aspect of your manly life. Just more freedom and liberty for you, the man. That's who we're about tonight. That's who we support. Women have 1,000 books in any bookstore in the female section dedicated only to them and not to you. Haven't you noticed that? Any Barnes & Noble? Where's the female section? Oh, it's right over here, sir. Oh, ma'am. You have a man section? Screw you. No, we don't, is what they'll say. Probably a purple-haired, weird liberal chick will tell you that, or some dude with a nose ring who's white. What this nation was founded on and what it used to be are two different things. We used to fight wars over this stuff for more freedom and liberty. Many men will find their great American wife, but many men will not. And for those men, that's why God invented the airport and the passport and the jet engine for you to fly to exotic ports of call like James Bond. Finally find what you want, what you need. And every guy will find it eventually. You'll find your Shangri-La. Trust me, it's out there. What a great show tonight. I could talk for 5 more hours about this, but we will end the show. We're so glad everyone was here tonight. We heard from the Gladiator, from the Gunslinger, from Ron Reck, from Crazy Nation Radio, from American Scotch. Many of you chimed in on my Gab page during the show, and you love it. We love you for being here every week, every month. The Von Wien Show is blazing a new trail. We are from Valhalla Studios here in the mountains of Arizona at the end of another great broadcast day. Don't forget this Thursday show. There's a lot of politics that we'll cover on our hard-hitting show this Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m. from Valhalla Studios. We wish you all a great night. God save the Bachelor King, and call in anytime. We'd love to have you on the air. Good night. God bless. And let the American gigolo reign supreme.